Now, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked,
"Aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans?
Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own tongues?"
"Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia,
Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome,
both Jews and converts to Judaism,
Cretans and Arabs,
we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue."
Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another,
"What does this mean?
What is going on here?"
Some, however, made fun of them.
"They have had too much wine.
They might be drunk."
Now the people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Father, may my prepared notes reflect your heartbeat, and may you cause us through your Holy Spirit to meditate deeply on your word, and God's people say,
Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe that deep within us lies the unquenchable longing to live well. That is, to live meaningfully, to live in such a way that when the question is posed to you, you can answer with significance and meaning, "What in the world are you doing here?" At the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we hear over and over again the invitation of God to be well and to live well. The Jewish word for peace, shalom, embodies that very sense of well-being. Throughout Corey's insightful teachings on Acts, we have been encouraged week to week through the lives of seemingly ordinary biblical people to somehow relocate our lives from the kingdom of self-centeredness to the kingdom of Christ-centeredness. And in that relocation process, we discover the adventure of being a witness to God's grace and love in this world. I don't know personally of a more compelling and comprehensive calling or vocation to live by. But what we all discover, or we certainly need to discover, is that to live well is not to live on our own power, but rather the power of the infusion of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Today's scripture is focused on an event we have simply come to know as Pentecost, the Greek penta, 550, Pentecost. If you've only read the New Testament, you might easily conclude that Pentecost is a unique event peculiar just to the New Testament or the book of Acts. But in fact, Pentecost finds its roots in the Old Testament. At that time, Jews from throughout the Middle East, Judea, Mesopotamia, Asia, Egypt, Rome, and Greece, and other far corners of the then known world, gathered yearly for a two-day celebration. Pentecost. Day one was a celebration of the end of the barley season, where people gave thanks to God for his provision. The second day, people celebrated the beginning of the wheat harvest. But here's something of even greater significance. It was also the day in which the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, were read out loud. In hearing the Torah, people were reminded that they had been set free from physical bondage of slavery in Egypt, which we sometimes refer to as the first Exodus. Jews could now become what God had created for them to become. People who are called to live meaningfully with God and with the world, with God's creation. People responded to this reading by rededicating themselves to deepening their relationship with God. And what might that look like? Two things. First of all, they promised to study the Torah. Not just to know the Torah, but to know the God of the Torah. There is a difference. But it also looked this way, that they would dedicate themselves to becoming the Torah, by incarnating the Torah, by living the Torah in the world. The Torah was understood to be the animating influence, the effervescence of the spiritual life. Maybe you're already running ahead of me, because some of you are such quick studies. You see what's going on here. In the New Testament Acts account of Pentecost, we see a second Exodus taking place. Here, people are set free not so much from the bondage of physical slavery, even though there is some of that going on, but rather the slavery to sin and death through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Or to put it in another way, the slavery of meaninglessness, which our world seems to be suffering from acutely. Finding purpose and meaning in life. Let's give these verses that the students and I read a kind of metaphor, if you will. Imagine God hefting upon his shoulder a giant boulder, which comes to represent the Holy Spirit. And now, leaning over the balcony of heaven, God tosses this boulder into the water-like midst of all those gathered there in Jerusalem. Imagine a splash. Now imagine flowing out of this epicenter of the Holy Spirit, ripple after ripple after expanding ripple, motion that is described for us in the rest of the book of Acts and beyond. Now, I want you to visualize seeing moving towards us, moving towards you, these ripples. Imagine now being engulfed, washed over by such a ripple. In other words, we become ripple people. We are the embodiment of the Spirit's rippling motion in the world. We are to cause ripples. This picture, this reality, is a game changer for anyone and everyone who has ever wondered if their lives even amount to very much at all. If their influence in the world for God matters one iota. And I say to you, unequivocally, yes, it does. And it's this reality that speaks to verse 12. I don't know if you caught it in the reading of the students, but in verse 12, the people responded and they were amazed, and wouldn't you be, and perplexed, wouldn't I be, and then turning to one another and asking these profound and prophetically laden questions, what does all this mean? What's going on here? what's going on here. You are the meaning of all of this. How so? Because the Spirit of God has invaded your soul and has taken up residence in your home. This is an absolute stunning vision for each of us individually who are still looking for meaning in our lives, and for any church that wonders, what's our mission? Why are we here? It's a grand vision for the church, for us to be a part of something so grand in scale, so inclusive in its appeal, and so utterly hopeful in a world so paralyzed by fear and meaninglessness. But we're not done yet. We've explored the first 12 verses of Acts 2, but there is more to the story. Remember that in the Old Testament version of Pentecost, people took the occasion of Pentecost to rededicate themselves to God and to the Torah. In a similar vein, we see in Acts 2, verse 42, how new believers responded to the word of God preached by Peter earlier in 2 Acts. They devoted themselves to four things: to the teaching of the apostles. Secondly, to fellowship. Thirdly, to communion. And fourth, prayer. The four holy virtues, the four holy disciplines that we cannot live without if we are to live meaningfully. The word devoted is noteworthy. The Greek meaning holds the idea of persisting obstinately, doggedly, unyielding in something that matters. It leads to something that is virtually habit-forming, like physical exercise, which, when we stay with it, we expect it to change us and change us for the better. Being devoted to God's word is just that. Living in expectation that I will be changed into somebody meaningful. And that brings us to this very odd sermon title. I was wondering when you were going to get there. We talk about two compelling forces in our lives. We talk about these scientific words, centripetal and centrifugal. And I want Rhonda to come up and demonstrate for you both centripetal and centrifugal force at work. Stay clear. By the way, we did take out an extra rider on our insurance policy for this demonstration. At first, I was going to put a lead ball on the end of the string, but our carrier, insurance carrier, said he couldn't cover that. A wiffle ball will do, he said. Now notice, it's the centripetal force that is located at Rhonda's right hand where she is holding on to the string. The centrifugal force is located in the object that is being, in a sense, pushed out from the centripetal center of her motion. You did good, Rhonda. Thank you. But here's what you got to notice. It's the centripetal force that gives life to the centrifugal force out there. It's the centripetal force in here that gives motion to the centrifugal force, the influence out there. Corey spent several weeks profiling people in Acts where lives bore witness to God's mercy and grace in the lives of others out there. So here's the question. What do you imagine all these people had in common so they could become effective witnesses? There must have been something that took place in their lives in order for them to have such an amazing influence on the lives of other people. And I believe that the answer lies embedded in verse 42. Here, I think, is the heart of the centripetal force. It is here where they and we discover that ever-deepening experience of knowing God's heart towards us and others. It is knowing our first love, our first sense of being loved unconditionally. It is that experience that begins now to influence our very lives. It is learning Jesus. It is, as Augustine has said, you, in reading and studying the scriptures, together, individually, we are learning to love what God loves. And if you were present at the wedding ceremony yesterday, you all got tickets, you would have heard this African-American pastor talk about the centrality of the love of God. And you see, to the degree you learn deeply what matters to God, well then, correspondingly, your life takes on more meaning, and your impact takes on meaning. And I think what's most fascinating about the nature of Christian formation is that when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we will experience both the centripetal pull and the centrifugal push at the same time. And you see, this is where the balancing act comes in. There are two forces that are held in tension that need to be balanced by all of us. You see, there are some people who, as believers, just believe it's all about the energy we exert out there on behalf of God and behalf of His kingdom. So they engage themselves in matters of social justice, acts of mercy and compassion. They're all over it. They're those kind of people. But there is another kind of people, another group of people, who spend the bulk of their lives paying attention to the center, to scripture study, to prayer, to study and reading and taking classes in theology and prayer and going on spiritual retreats and what have you. But only being influenced in one or the other is to live an imbalanced life. And it doesn't mean you live all that well. You see, being out there doing social justice, you have to be informed about what it is that you're socially justing for. And if all you ever do is navel gaze at your spiritual navel, you can only pull out so much lint. It needs to be embodied. It needs to find its life. Where does it find its life? Out there where you're causing ripples. It isn't one or the other. As I experience and deeply live in Christ, I am propelled into God's work in the world. I am joining God in whatever He's doing out there. As I am pulled tighter and tighter into the arms of my loving Father, I will be pushed by that same Father into a greater and greater participation in His mission for the world. It is a balancing thing. Today's takeaway, for any of us who desire to influence the world meaningfully for Jesus, out here, we must first learn to be meaningfully influenced by Jesus in here. Both, you get this, don't you? I know you do. Both of these forces reflect the very power of Jesus Christ on the cross, which are both the center and the circumference of our faith. Live well. Let's pray. Father, animate our lives this day and all days going forward through the movement of your Holy Spirit as we open up our hearts, our minds, and our soul to you. Amen.